What's up, everybody? Welcome to SWAT MMA, the Smoking Weed and Talking Mixed Martial Arts. This is episode number 60. I'm here with my buddy Paul.
What up?
And we are coming to you from Las Vegas, Nevada, home of legal cannabis, fight capital of the world. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about the absolutely awesome heavyweight bout that took place right here in Las Vegas this past weekend. Wilder versus Fury 2. We're going to be taking a look at the UFC event that was a little bit overshadowed but still took place in Auckland that had a great main event as well. We're going to take a look ahead to the upcoming flyweight title fight. We've got a vacant title in the UFC flyweight division. We're going to have Joey Benavidez versus Deiveson Figueiredo. Before we get into all those great fights, let's get into our weed of the week.
Smoke weed every day.
Tell you what, folks, we don't have much change in this week's weed of the week. We are still smoking on that fine purple punch. In fact, that shit was so good, we went out and bought more, didn't we, Paul?
Absolutely.
We got this big fat bong smoking nice away because we did a bunch of keef, right? If you're watching on video, that's what's smoking away. I'm going to hit that. Since we don't have much on the weed tip, let's just dive right into the heavyweight bout this weekend. How can we avoid what was...
There is nothing to avoid.
What was probably the most important boxing match in the heavyweight division in what, since Tyson Holyfield?
Yeah,
back then. No, maybe not that far, but it's been years.
Been a while.
Fury Klitschko.
Sorta.
I don't know. Ish. Even that was.
Yeah, I don't know. It was a great fight.
Well, folks, if you've somehow missed it, Tyson Fury won by TKO in the seventh
round.
Deontay Wilder's corner threw in the towel. And it was an ass whooping start to finish.
Yeah.
Not just that round, but all seven rounds.
Well, let's just look at it this way. Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder have now spent 19 rounds in the ring together.
Yes.
And Deontay Wilder has only won two of them. Maybe three, depending on who you ask.
You know, there was some very interesting discussions prior to this fight, and one of the ones I really liked was the roundtable debate that saw John Fury with Paulie Malignaggi,
David Hay,
and a couple other analysts. It was a very interesting discussion, and during that, which took place, you know, a couple weeks before the fight, or roughly around then, John made several predictions about that fight, and he said that his son was going to come in there and he was going to bully Deontay Wilder, and he was going to knock him out in the eighth or ninth round, and everyone basically thought he was fucking nuts.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. I want to bring something up that's been kind of overlooked and kind of been seen as one of Tyson's pitfalls in that fight when it really wasn't. A lot of people are making a lot of noise about his weight. Well, I just want to
about the increase between the first fight and the
I just
want to
kind of bring something up. Tyson Fury has now brought in a nutritionist for the first time in his career for this last fight, and he didn't not take this seriously. People are thinking because he came in at 275 pounds that he wasn't taking this seriously, but it's actually the contrary. He brought a nutritionist in that made it sure that he lost a little bit more of that belly fat that he was carrying around, and then put on muscle on top
exactly,
of that.
Exactly, Paul.
So the fact of the matter is it where people were thinking, oh, because he didn't take his shirt off at the weigh-ins and shit like that. But he came in looking in much better shape than he's looked in the first fight.
People were thinking because he was heavier, he must have just gone back to being fat again. And quite the contrary, he's added some muscle. Yeah.
He trimmed the fat off over these
couple of years on his comeback. You know, if you somehow missed out on hearing it, folks, he was weighing 400 pounds.
Yeah.
Battled severe depression, was going to kill himself, ballooned his weight up, went crazy. Now he's back, and the first time he fought Deontay was his third fight back.
Yeah.
And that's another thing his father was pointing out in this roundtable, is that his son then was soft.
Yeah.
Said you could poke him like a pillow. Yeah. Like he still had body fat and saggy skin. And now,
well, and I think that's another thing. Yeah. Another pitfall people were talking about that he had changed his camp. In reality, the way this camp handled this fight is a large reason for the reason he won this fight.
You know, sure. He looked at the fact that he did outbox Wilder in the first fight, and he walked away with a draw.
Yeah.
And this time he went in there and bullied that motherfucker.
And let's just think about it this way, for just for a second. A lot of people say you don't do that to Deontay Wilder, and that's a bad game plan because Deontay Wilder will catch you coming in.
It depends on who you are.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that actually it's the contrary. Because Deontay Wilder is so long and he has such rangy punches that if you stifle that and make him fight in the pocket, I don't know if he carries the same power that he does when he brings that huge straight right.
Or those big counters from outside.
Huge hooks where he's standing a little. Like, look at the fight against Ortiz, the second one, where the punch he knocked him out with. He was fucking halfway, half the other side of the ring away from him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, exactly. So I think Wilder's biggest punch, and even look in the Fury fight the first time. The first time, what did he knock him out with? A step-in hook is what he did. He fucking stepped in. He was coming from the outside, stepped in, and caught him right on the temple, put him down. And, you know, and it's weird that people think, I don't know, it's everyone was just saying Tyson was going to get killed in there.
Yeah, people were sleeping on him, which I didn't really understand. But
and I wish we both put some money on it, dude. Fucking, it was plus, it was plus 450 for Tyson in a knockout.
That's absurd.
Yeah.
God damn. Well, I'd listen to John Fury's. It's easy to write John Fury's statements off because he's his dad, and so you know he comes in with that parent bias. But you know, he was dead on correct.
Yeah, 100%.
And, you know, he's with a solid team with a great lineage. I mean, the Kronk Gym, Sugar Hill Steward.
Yeah.
It's Emmanuel Steward. It's not his son.
His nephew.
His nephew.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like that. Your boxing coaching pedigree doesn't get much better than that. That gym's tough as fuck.
Brought in Stitch Duran as his cut man. Even though his cut man in the first fight, or the second fight back, was really, really saved him in the Wall. Was it the Wallen?
The Wallen fight? Yeah.
Saved him.
Waylon Wallen.
I don't know. But saved him in that fight, but still kind of got let go and brought in Sitcheran because I think Tyson really looked at this fight and thought, I have to bring in the best of the best in every facet of the game.
And you know there had to be some amount of concern about that cut getting opened up again at some point in the fight. And you want to have the absolute best cut man in all of combat sports, which is without a doubt Sitcheran. Yeah. Which is just a quick aside, I still can't believe they kicked that motherfucker out of the UFC. I can't believe he's never come back. Yeah. I mean, it's not on him. It's on them. It's idiotic.
Yeah. Idiotic.
But anyways, he was the best. He was there. I do like how things seem to be amicable between Fury and Ben Davison. There doesn't seem to be any ill will there since he switched
Fury
it up.
Fury even said on multiple occasions he misses his energy in the camp.
And Davison was...
Which maybe means that he could come back in some smaller role.
Well, he was tweeting all about the fight and congrats to Fury and all kinds of stuff. And I got to say, like, who was it? Was it MMA Mania's website? They wrote this big article and they kept calling him Ben David with a D, son, like repeatedly through the whole damn article. I was so annoyed.
Dude, at least learn the guy.
Like, I tweeted at him too. I'm like, man, y'all, like, you, Google. Yeah. If you go on his Twitter, his name
laziness.
Is Davis, son.
Yeah.
And all.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah. It's just laziness.
But, anyways, No, you know, there doesn't seem to be any beef there. This move to the new camp seems really be smart. Tyson says he's going to keep on, like, using his power this way. He's often said that he never really punched hard. That wasn't his style. He's more of a volume puncher, which seems weird when you look how big he is.
Yeah.
You always figure there's got to be some
power. Man, that knockdown
there,
on the third round was savage.
Dude, kind of made Wilder eat some words. I mean, you know, he said Fury was pillow-fisted and his 2-year-old hits harder.
Yeah.
And then he went out and got slept. Or not slept, but,
he
got knocked down and beat the hell
out.
Well,
here's the thing. In that third round when he knocked him down, I don't necessarily know this for sure, but he stuck him in the right ear. And from what it looked like, he busted his eardrum.
There's been a lot of talk about.
Yeah, if you bust someone's eardrum, you break you off-center the equilibrium. So if you think about it, everyone was talking about, oh, Wilder just didn't look right. Why was he just stumbling all over the place? Some people were saying it was fixed. I was like, what are you talking about? Like,
that's crazy.
Yeah, but people were like, how does someone just wobble around like that for 5 rounds?
You have,
like,
a busted eardrum.
If you have
that's
a busted
how, he had
eardrum,
steady blood coming out of his
he
ear.
Was lit, which now, takes us to another thing in the 5th round when fucking he's bleeding out of the ear and Tyson starts licking the side of his fucking face.
How savage was that? You can see that on there's
on Twitter,
video footage
on everywhere,
of this,
yeah.
Folks, if you're interested. But yeah, Tyson Fury literally licks the blood off of
So another thing
Wilder's
with that
neck.
Knockdown, though. So The punch to the ear was nice, but the body shot on the way down was even nicer, man. That's one thing that he was doing that was really offsetting Deontay. Was he was going up top and then finishing down low.
Yeah.
He'd hit him with a big 1-2 up top, but then he'd hit him with a big hook in the body or a big hook in the liver. And just like it, I feel like it just stopped Deontay in his tracks.
It did, literally. Since the fight has occurred, Deontay's team has come out and said that he didn't have a busted eardrum, that is a cut on the inside of his ear. But I'm going to be honest here. I don't believe that.
I don't believe that.
I think that based if he has a busted eardrum, they don't want that information out there. They don't want to make it a target for future opponents. They don't want that discussion. So that's they're true. Like, oh, it's a cut in the ear. Yeah. Because the evidence would clearly indicate what you just talked about. The fact he was wobbling all over the ring, which is what happens when
for multiple rounds. It wasn't just like the first knockdown, he wobbled around, and then he wobbled around some more.
Right.
I was like, no, it was he was like consistently not steady on his feet for every round after the third. And maybe that speaks a little bit to the pressure that Tyson was putting on him also. But you know what I mean? Like that just doesn't happen. Like, you're just not no longer sure-footed after getting knocked down, and you don't have lasting effects. You know what I mean? Something big had to happen.
For sure. Hit that pipe there if you want.
So now this takes us to possibly 30 days from now.
Yeah, we've got a 30-day. Wilder's got a 30-day rematch clause in his contract that is his choice to exercise. He doesn't have to. And Hearn has come out making some noise about that here in the past few days, correct? Something about giving him 9 days?
Yeah, he actually said he's giving him 9 days because that's what – well, let me just put it this way. I think he needs to take another fight before he fights Fury again.
I would think so as well.
But that fight could be Anthony Joshua. And although that may be Fury's fight, I think that makes more sense for Deontay and AJ to fight now because now they both have one loss. And Fury's the only one who's still undefeated.
That's interesting. Although I'm guessing there's going to be a pretty big push to get these belts unified again, especially while two Brits are holding them. As beloved as Fury is over here in Vegas and in America, where he clearly has a large fan base, he is a Brit.
Yeah.
You know, Joshua's a Brit. I would really love to see the titles unified again. But I get what you're saying, though. Wilder, AJ would be an interesting fight. Problem or not, with AJ is, though, he has two scheduled mandatory defenses this year. One against Pratarov, I think. I'm not sure.
Bulev.
And then,
remember the guy who kissed the reporter and got all the fights for it? Yeah, that's who.
And then he's got another one at the end of the year against the former cruiserweight champ, Usyk, who's pretty...
But in all reality... You know, and I know, if we're talking about every organizational belt that Anthony Joshua holds, if those organizations had a chance to unify all the belts, they would do that over his mandatory defenses.
I'm guessing they could figure out a way to
in the same way
fix the calendar.
In the same way, fucking WBO, what was the one he won? It was WBC.
WBC.
Yeah. Technically, Dillon Whyte was the mandatory challenger for Deontay Wilder, but instead he took the Tyson Fury fight.
See, there we go. They can work something out. But I do like
mandatory challenges are like they're not even. It's not even like something you're held to. Sometimes, like if there's a bigger fight on the horizon, like boxing is, it becomes such a fucking like. They all sit there and auction off these fights, pretty much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they bid on the fights. They bid on the fights.
And everybody gets a piece. So if the WBC feels like they're getting a much larger piece of Wilder Fury than they're getting of Fury versus, or let's just say fucking the fight before that, then they're getting a whole lot more money for that fight they got on Saturday than they got for when he fought Dominic Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
Or when he fought Ortiz the second time. You know what I mean? Where money talks in boxing.
I think that the Wilder Fury 3 fight isn't going to be next either way. I don't think there's going to be much clamoring for that. And if I'm Wilder, I want a minute. Because this second fight puts that first fight in a different light. It kind of cements the Tyson won the first fight talk.
Yeah.
You know.
But.
If I'm him, I want to regroup for a second there.
But.
You don't want to go out and get beat again.
In the same breath, boxing is a fickle sport. And if he steps out of the spotlight, fights a couple nobodies, and Tyson Fury goes on and beats AJ, will everybody be clamoring for the third fight as much? Probably not.
See, if I would, well, it depends if he goes out and lays waste to a couple people while fucking
That's
Fury's
the thing,
over there unifying titles, and then they have the rematch for all the belts.
That's the thing, though. With other challengers around like Usyk and Pulev and Joseph Parker and a lot of those guys that are on that like second tier but are still dangerous, they can see what Tyson did and possibly try to execute a similar game plan, and we'll really get into a situation. You're not gonna like what I'm gonna compare this to, but kind of similar to like how like Lennox Lewis and Vander Holyfield like kind of figured out Tyson, and that was because not to say that Tyson was as much of a one-trick pony as Deontay Wilder.
He was later in his career, but the early Tyson was not like
Wilder. These bigger punches,
the big punches,
big punchers. When they fall in love with those big punches, that's all they look for. Sometimes, even the saying that I've said myself, you got to be perfect for 12 rounds against Wilder, and he has to be perfect for one punch. That's to a detriment to himself at the same time, because there's a lot of fights he's been in where people have questioned his abilities because he's down 4 or 5 rounds on the cards and he just puts an end to the night.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people still feel like Ortiz is generally a better boxer than Wilder, because if you really look at it, if we're looking to take away the two knockouts, looking at round by round by round by round, Ortiz outboxed him in both fights.
For sure.
Wilder was just able to put him away. And where Ortiz couldn't put Wilder away.
Power, yeah.
So the question becomes, how long is he going to have that power? That's my question. Because now, we talked a little bit about it in our last show. Now Wilder's 34 years old. When he fights Fury again, he'll be 35.
Fury's still be 30, 31 the most.
Well, I think Fury's 31 right now.
No, he's 30.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, the question becomes, how long? So if we're gonna use his excuses, he's coming in with injuries again. Are these injuries happening because he was a football player for 20 years and a boxer for 10? You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. How long is his body gonna hold up? If he's getting all these injuries and coming in all, if we're gonna take his excuses for face value. He's supposedly came into his last fight with a broken arm. Like he's fucking broken ribs. He keeps coming into these fights with injuries
apart,
that he's talking about.
Taking the face value.
And he's fucking 34 years old.
Yeah.
So the question really becomes is how long will his body and power hold up?
Well, me speaking as a fan, I don't want to see that fight next. I'm really hoping the Anthony Joshua fight gets booked next for Fury. But I got a question for you. In the scope of heavyweight division historically, like how good is Tyson Fury at this point?
Well, let's look at it this way.
I mean,
him and Ali, and Riddick Bowe. Him, Ali, and Riddick Bowe are the only people to ever win the Ring Magazine twice.
Yeah. And now you look at this resume coming back and getting this title, beating Wilder like this. You add it to, you know, the Klitschko win.
Yeah.
All these things that he's doing here. And this win was so convincing. That's the sound of a lighter dying, folks. Whew. That's a sad moment. And he's not done. He's still getting started, you know?
Yeah. But is he, though? Because I don't see Fury fighting for very much longer either.
No, he's come out and recently said that he's going to fight maybe twice more and retire.
Yeah.
But if he did something like that, they would be epic fights. Then he's going to be the Joshua fight, and then he's going to defend it against somebody.
Ends it against Usyk.
But also, this is also a man who says if he wasn't for boxing, he would die. So
yeah.
I don't know how legit he is when he says he's going to retire in 2 fights.
Well,
I just feel like he
thinks there's only 2 fights left for him out there that are going to create the buzz that he needs to fight. Because, let's just be honest, those two little fucking tee-up fights that he had those were really just to get him in shape. Like, yeah, he didn't really care about either of those fights.
Yeah.
Like,
well, he needed to just come out and get some ring time.
Yeah.
Beat somebody.
Yeah.
The second one turned into be a bit more difficult due to that massive cut that opened up.
Yeah. But the shit happens with that.
Shit happens, you know.
But then the thing about this way, then he's getting paid a couple mil from the UFC, or not the UFC, the WWE to go do a match in Saudi Arabia, and then he turns around and he's talking about doing possibly something with them for WrestleMania, which I think is soon. I want to say.
Yeah, this win set him up for this massive appearance at WrestleMania. Exactly. I don't follow it, but I did read articles that said if he won here, he was set up for like a big ass payday in the next giant thing they do over there. I wish I knew more.
I don't necessarily know what their schedule's like, but I want to say WrestleMania soon.
And it was supposed to be a lot more money than he got paid for that other one.
Yeah, but he got paid like $3 million.
He got paid like a fat chunk.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I could see him doing that. I could also see him angling for a hybrid MMA fight with Stipe where he said he'll do it in a cage with 4-ounce gloves, but it's boxing only, and, you know, so it's practically like bare knuckle.
Well, I think he said boxing and elbows.
Yeah. Man, I bet he's got a nasty elbow.
You didn't see him training with fucking Darren Till. It's all he was
hitting
with.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was just thinking in a fight, I'm cracking that on somebody.
I don't think it would be as vicious as if Stipe hit him with an elbow.
Yeah, Stipe is very well trained in the elbow use.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would be interested in weird fights like that for him as well. I don't give a fuck, man.
Fucking stupid.
I don't give a fuck. I'm a big Fury fan.
Like we were saying a little bit early, though, Eddie Hearn has kind of put the fire under both these fighters' asses because now he said that in 9 days from now they will go into negotiations for the Pulev fight. So that kind of gives
wants to end those.
That either gives Wilder 30 days to be like, or 9 days. I mean, to make his decision, or it gives Fury 9 days. To light a fire under Wilder's ass and be like, well, if you don't tell me what you're going to do, I'm going to go in negotiations for this AJ fight.
Man, I would just love to have a unified heavyweight champion, especially if it's Tyson Fury.
Here's the thing, though. That shit's going to be over there. That would be across the
board. Yeah, they ain't going to do that one here. But I get that. It's two UK fighters. You should do it there.
Eddie Hearn was also saying that he's already talked to people in Saudi Arabia that said they want that fight there.
Or do it there. I don't give a fuck.
It'd be a lot bigger than that fucking Joshua Ruiz, too.
Have we heard anything from Andy Ruiz?
He's supposed to be fighting Ortiz.
I hope he takes it serious.
That's a good fight. I like that fight.
We'll see. We can probably tell by the time we get the weigh-ins. Not to clown him, but I mean,
but if he's serious, though, I think that's a good fight to get him back on track.
That'd be an interesting fight. I'm down for that.
Ortiz is no joke, but he's 176 years old. So
right, soon to be 178. Seven. Yeah,
he just skips 2 years every time.
He does.
He ages like a dog. But yeah, so I mean,
excitement.
That's a good fight. I mean. Heavyweight's in an interesting place right now.
Yeah, this is the best the heavyweight division's been
a while
here in quite some time.
And what's cool is, like, guys like Ruiz, Ortiz that have fought Wilder and fought, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's guys that have fought all these big three heavyweights that, like, even their names have kind of become part of the picture for some of even the casual fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because, like,
they're getting some rub off
some
of these
exactly,
guys.
Exactly.
Well, we got a UFC event that actually happened the same night.
What was cool about it, though, is it was earlier. So
yeah, it was nice to be able to watch the UFC first and then watch the Fury fight.
Yep.
But I mean, that probably wraps up the boxing. I'll just end my thoughts on the fact I was a Fury fan before this, and I'm really excited, man. I think the heavyweight division.
It's in a good place.
It's kind of like MMA when Conor is active and winning. It's good for the sport, and I think Tyson Fury is good for the sport of boxing, and him being active and winning will be exciting. He's a character, he's a performer, and he's got mad skills to back it up.
Yeah.
So
I second that.
Well, there was some UFC action all the way over in Auckland, New Zealand, which was not headlined by Izzy.
No.
Which is weird, because Izzy fights in like 2 weeks against Romero.
He said he wanted this card, but he thought it was going to be a pay-per-view. They can't put him on a fucking fight night on ESPN.
Yeah, that's true, because we are talking, of course, folks, of the middleweight champion Israel Adesanya, New Zealand native, who pulls them numbers.
He does.
Thus far. Did you see that press conference between him and Romero on YouTube currently?
I did not.
Has 1.2 million views, is a lot for a UFC press conference, especially one that's two fights. Yeah, he did, man. But I'll give him some credit. He said that he was gonna take Yoel down like the Twin Towers.
Quicker
than the Twin Towers crumbled. Yeah, he'd crumble faster.
That's not very nice.
Like, I realize he doesn't live in America, but we both do. And that was one.
That didn't even go over well in New Zealand.
That's in really poor taste. Yeah, that was a terrible terrorist attack. There's nothing there to...
Yeah, no deal.
But much credit to him. He came out a couple days later.
Dumb of me.
He was like, yeah, I got caught up just talking and used a bad euphemism and wasn't thinking. My mouth runs quicker than my brain sometimes, which I totally get, man. That happens to people. And that's all he had to do. Come out and just say a little thing like that. Be like, yeah, I did just trying to make a...
Forgiven.
Because people do say Yoel is like steel. They say that. Yeah, and the buildings were, of course, made of steel. But still. Because, you know, he followed that up with a too soon. Did you know that?
Yeah, I know.
He
I
said
know.
It, and then he goes...
too soon?
He goes, too soon? That was...
It's like 20 years later, but still.
Goddamn. Yes. Dude, it's too soon for, like... Nazi jokes.
Yeah,
it's too soon.
That's always
no one makes Jew concentration camp jokes. Why? Because it's you just can't make jokes about certain shit. It's going to be too soon 100 years from now.
Yeah, there's no time. It's always going to be too soon because that time's never going to go.
Can't make jokes about horrid terrorist attacks.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
People are still dying from that shit. But anyways, there's no reason to be mad because he was like, dude, my bad. And he seemed sincere enough.
Let's dive into something a little bit controversial in the card.
Yeah, let's do it.
So, Karolina Kovacevic fought, I don't know how to say her name. What's her name?
I don't know either. Jean?
Yeah, I don't want to butcher it.
X-I-A-N or something like that.
Like
no offense to her. I had never heard of her before this fight either, but she's clearly
a
talented fighter.
Yeah, she's a savage.
And you know, what you're about to bring up ties into the Wilder Fury fight, actually, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. So she got demolished.
Karolina
got demolished.
It was bad.
First round is beat down.
We find out later she got a broken orbital bone in the first round.
And she was... very emotional on her, I think it was Instagram or Twitter video that she put out saying that this is the first fight in her UFC career. She can sit here and tell everyone, all of her fans, that she's not okay, that
she
super
got
fucked up. Yeah. So the question becomes is like, should the corner have thrown in the towel? Because after the second round, her orbital was busted.
She told them.
Well, yeah.
She said she could see double and triple.
And here's the thing. As a corner, it's not your job to ask, do you want to continue?
Of course they want to continue. She's a fighter. She wants to fucking go. Just like Deontay.
Yeah.
His corner threw in the towel, and he was like, why'd you do
after?
That?
Don't do that,
Well,
because,
man.
I fucking care.
Because
you know,
otherwise
you
would have got done like Karolina got done,
exactly.
Which was take massive amounts of fucking punches.
Well, let's
just
put it this way. Headed into the third round, she put her hands up. And what did she do? She had her hand that should be blocking her chin literally open hand covering her eye for her.
Like so she could see out of one eye and see what was going on.
Yeah,
it was unbelievable,
really
dude.
It was really bad.
And
I thought, I was thinking as a referee as well, if I seen that, I probably would stop it.
Yeah, I think less of the onus falls on the referee, some... But the corner.
There,
what are you guys doing? It's not unprecedented to throw in the towel in MMA fights. It used to happen in early UFC events, like 1 through 10. It happened frequently.
Yeah.
And now there's just really one team. Who is it?
Probably like Rufus Sport. Because
Rufus Sport,
I've seen them
a couple times.
Yeah, they're the only team I've really seen throw the towel in.
And I don't understand this mentality from the corner, man, because there's no fucking shame here.
Yeah.
There is no shame in the corner throwing in the towel. Deontay Wilder has nothing to be embarrassed about. In his corner, I know one of them said he disagreed with it. They did the right thing. He wasn't going to win that. Yes, he could have got
the
miracle punch, maybe.
Here's the thing is,
Carolina could have got a miracle punch.
His thing is, Breland has been in situations like that as a fighter as well. So it's like,
yeah,
you know, he has that. He has the. That's what I just feel like. That's what we need more in MMA is like, we love to watch these crazy wars, but then we don't get to watch these fighters very much longer. Let's just be honest here.
Yeah.
Like, has Robbie Lawler or Rory McDonald ever been the same since that fight? Absolutely not.
Not at all.
Absolutely not. Not to say that that's not a great fight and those guys don't deserve all the fame they deserve from having one of the best fights in UFC history, but when you're talking about a guy in Rory who you watch get dropped twice in the fourth round and his nose is completely caved in and you let him go out for the fifth where he gets his nose caved in even more and finished.
Yeah,
and his nose had, what, four surgeries after that to get that fixed?
And if you're listening and wondering, like, well, can't the fighter just quit? I mean, okay, yes, that is an option, but you have to understand the fighter's mentality.
Yeah.
And if you want a good example of
any competitor would not quit in that situation. Let's just be honest.
Look at the most famous quitter of all time, Roberto Duran, sitting on a stool saying no mas. He still gets shit for that all these years later. But if his corner had simply thrown in the towel instead, it'd be just fine, and it's the exact same result. And fighters look at that, and they know that. Yeah. And it doesn't matter now if you look back and think he did the right thing or not. I'm saying he caught flack for fucking decades for that shit. Yeah. And fighters see that. They know they can't go out there and fucking quit. And you can't have the mentality of getting in a cage and kicking somebody's ass while at the same time going, that's it, I can't do it.
Yeah,
no more.
Let's just be honest. And that's across sports. When do you, let's just be honest, when you go into the football playoffs, how many guys are injured? 90% of most rosters. When you go into the NBA playoffs, how many people are injured? Most of your roster. Everybody's injured. Everybody's hurt. Everybody's this. Everybody's that. It's not on the fighter to sit there and tell like themselves, I can't do this.
No, that's like, why you have cornermen.
Exactly.
And the same thing.
In football, when a guy gets lit up, what happens? The trainers come on the field and evaluate him and decide whether or not he can continue to play the game. You know what I'm saying? And it comes down to these cornermen have to start looking at this more.
I don't understand.
They have to have their fighter's career more in mind than their fighter does.
Yes, they need to take a page out of boxing, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
And realize that there is no shame in throwing in the... And it doesn't matter if their fighter gets mad at them.
You win some, you lose some, but here's the thing. When you lose some, you want to have the opportunity to come back and maybe right those wrongs a few months later.
Yes.
When you win some, lose some, and you're getting your fucking ass kicked and losing short fucking paper-thin decisions, but you're taking so much damage, you... We'll never get the rematch because you're so damaged you're going to go in there against a lesser fighter in your next fight and get finished because you're just not the same fighter mentally and just your body changes after fights like that.
Your brain changes. Your mentality changes.
Like people like to think that like your chin like is indestructible forever, but let's just be honest. No. What happened to guys like Chuck Liddell and guys like that in the UFC, Luke Rockhold, in boxing, fucking countless guys, fucking Gotti.
When the chin goes, it goes, man.
There's so many guys. So it's like your brain knows when you're in those crazy situations where it knows it's going to take a bunch of damage. Instead of taking damage as a defense mechanism, it just shuts off. So that's why you see all these guys get knocked out so many times later in their careers because – their brain has set up a defense mechanism to stop them from enduring so much damage over so much time that just shuts off. It's like, all right, well, we'll get out of this. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, there's a fucking finite number. No one knows it, and no one will ever know it, of punches or fucking kicks
blows
or knees or blows to the head that your brain just simply will not take anymore after a certain number.
Yeah.
And if you're a corner, it's your job to make sure your fighter hits that number a whole lot later than other fighters.
Yeah.
And
they 100% should have thrown in the towel for Carolina.
And Carolina's corner failed her.
They did 100%. You can't blame her. She's tough as fuck, dude.
Tough as fuck.
Get out there. You stay in a fight two more rounds with a busted orbital where you're literally holding one hand over your eye to just try and see. And that girl she was fighting was a beast.
Let's just be honest. Dan Hooker's on the fucking commentating table saying that they need to stop this.
Yeah.
if he's able to sit there and say they need to stop this, why are you as a corner man who should be the one who cares about your fighter the most unable to sit there and say, man, this needs to stop?
They think there was no way
of her winning that fight.
No.
There's no way. Two rounds to none and her orbital's broken. What does she need to go into the third round and take that damage from?
Right, they know she can't see straight. They know she's seeing double, triple.
And that's really goes back to boxing as well, is these cornermen know that, hey, we're down seven rounds to none pretty much in that Wilder's fight.
With nothing looking good at all. Wilder can't stand up straight. Nothing about Wilder.
Let's get out of here and we'll run it back. You know, mm-hmm. if we need to, we'll run it back in 6 months.
And we'll make sure our fighter is able to run it back. Not going to go another six rounds of getting pummeled by a 275-pound, 6'9" angry man.
Yeah. So, I know I'm harping on this, but I'm really upset with Carolina's corner.
No, me too. She did not. It was egregious in my mind.
Let's just be honest. She's not necessarily UFC level anymore.
No, this is her fourth loss in a row. She hasn't evolved in her fighting. She hit her peak and then she tumbled pretty quick.
And she also is already technically retired in her career and came back.
Yeah, and it's no shame to her. She had a nice run. She's a talented fighter.
She fought for the belt. Had a hell of a fight with Joanna. Maybe even that. Let's just look at that, man.
Yeah, she got fucked up in that fight. Joanna chewed her up and spit her out.
Let's just be honest here. Like,
it's been really been
as a corner, you got to be able to stop fights like that.
Yeah.
And they're failing her, man. And if she's, I think she should just.
She should retire.
Yeah.
You don't need to take any more damage, man. She's.
Yeah. It's sad to watch.
These guys need to step up and get over this. They think they're helping their fighter somehow by not throwing in the towel. They're protecting their macho image or some bullshit. Yeah. I don't know, but enough is enough.
Let's just be honest. I'll even compare this to... Well, let's move on to the main event. The main event is a complete different story, and maybe I'm a little bit wrong in the Rory and Robbie fight because they had a similar situation. When it's a close fight, it's hard to throw the towel in.
But in
a fight like Carolina or Deontay Wilder where your fighter's just literally getting outclassed and beat down.
Yeah, nonstop, round after round. Yeah.
You got to stop it.
There's not like, oh, well.
There's a chance, I get it.
Robbie and Wilder were both taking damage and it was a hella close fight. So that's a little different. But when these crazy fights fucking affect these fighters.
Like,
remember when Shevchenko beat that Priscilla, whatever? Oh, that should have been sad. That was savage.
It was like 126 significant strikes to five.
Yeah, she just mounted her and pounded the shit out of her for fucking 15 minutes, man. That wasn't necessary either.
Yeah.
Or maybe they ended that before then, but I remember it definitely should have ended way sooner than it did. Absolutely. Like, way sooner. Like, that was a terrible beatdown.
So, yeah, I just feel like. All right, so let's move on to the main event.
Let's move on to that main event, which saw Paul Felder versus Dan Hooker, lightweights.
Man, I don't think Dan Hooker was ready for how tough Paul Felder is, man.
There's some controversy. Felder wound up losing a split decision.
It was a close fight.
I don't feel like he was robbed.
Nah.
I felt like he won the fight, though, but I can see where you score it for Hooker. I'm not mad about it.
I mean, I could have even been a draw. That third round was a tie to me. Like, that third round could have been a 9-9. Like, literally, because third round, you look at it.
You talking third or fifth?
Third.
Third.
Third, because I think.
I thought Hooker won the first two.
I think Hooker won the first two. I think Felder won four. And I don't really count that takedown as much, because Felder rocked him in the start of the fifth.
Oh, that takedown in the fifth?
Yeah, I don't really count Hooker, that. So I think Felder won the fifth. I think the third. Mm-hmm. I think this fight was a draw. Honestly, I think this fight was a draw, dude.
I felt it winning 4 and 5. In the third, I gave him, but I can see why it was razor thin.
I could see it as a draw.
I could see it, too.
That was a lot of damage for a draw, but I feel like it could have been a draw.
Felder's face is pretty broken.
What we were seeing was Dan Hooker stand on the outside, pick him apart, but kind of end up on the inside after he landed his blows. And then as soon as he hit the inside is when Paul Felder would fire off and he would land all his shots.
Yeah.
So it really turned into like a back and forth fight the whole time. Like, I want to say the strikes, I want to say Felder had 15 more landed total strikes or something like that.
I thought it was 8. It was somewhere in that range. 8, 15. Yeah. It's so under like, 20.
Yeah. The question becomes at that point, who necessarily had the more damaging strikes? I feel like they gave it to Hooker just because of Felder's face, dude. He was fucked, man. He was fucked. And both guys were, don't get me wrong, they both ended up in the hospital.
Yeah, but visibly, the visuals on Felder were way worse than the visuals on Hooker. And I feel like
what really happened, too, is like Hooker came out tough and picked him apart in the first two rounds, and then Felder really came on late, whereas Hooker, I don't think Hooker was ready for all the strikes Felder was able to take. You know what I mean? Because, like, he hit him a lot, but then later in the fight when he was trying to hit him with those same shots, I think he was just like, why the fuck won't this hurt you? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he hurt Hooker a couple times. So, I don't know. It's a close fight.
It was a close fight. It was a good fight.
It's a draw.
A lot of back and forth. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot.
Felder, I think he was just emotional after the fight. He talked about retirement in the ring and missing his four-year-old, and I understand that totally. But even afterward, his trainer and his manager were both like, yeah, that's a little premature.
Yeah.
I mean, if he wants to retire, by all means, go for it. But I didn't see any reason for that other than emotion.
Yeah, but think about it this way. Paul Felder doesn't even live in Milwaukee. He lives in Pittsburgh, right? No, not Pittsburgh. Philly. He lives in Philly. So, the question becomes, how much time is he spending away from his family? Is that just emotion? He can't get a good gym
in Philly?
But he wants to stay with Rufus.
Well, it sounds like it's emotion based on missing your family. And I get that, dude. I sacrificed all kinds of shit so I was there for my kid. Like, you know, all kinds of business things. You know, because this is a business for these guys. And
Well, let's not pretend like he's not successful outside of the octagon already. He's one of the better commentators for the UFC at this point.
Yeah, he has options too.
And you know, UFC. Yeah. He does all the UFC shows. He does post fight, pre fight, ringside. He does it all. So let's just be honest here: does he necessarily need? Is he making enough money to be getting punched in the face that he's not making just talking about people getting punched in the face?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
When you weigh that with the family time as well, it could be enough. Because he might, I mean.
He says daughter's like four, you know. It's like kids are, that's like when kids start remembering shit pretty much after four or five, you know. So I feel like it's a little mix. It's a mixture of emotion and partial him not really needing fighting anymore. You know, he's kind of parlayed it into his next career. And when we're talking commentating, how many, in all reality, unless a ridiculous blunder on the broadcast, how many commentators are we really seeing getting canned? You know what I'm saying? And former fighters at that.
And he's good. He's better than DC for sure. So
yeah, I like him better than DC.
100%. So, yeah, he could retire. How about Hooker? What do you think's next for Dan? He's got to get somebody fairly high up in the rankings now. I mean, he was ranked prior to this, under 10.
So what, he beat Ally Quinta, Paul Felder. I don't know.
Match him up against Gaethje? Is that too high
up the list?
That's
who he wants, but supposedly Gaethje's still in the Conor sweepstakes, and Conor and him are supposedly fighting in June. That's what was rumored on Twitter this weekend. That Conor McGregor and Justin Gaethje, like, they're super preliminary talks, but they're in talks to fight in June. I'll take it.
And this will depend on the Nurmagomedov Ferguson fight going off. Because if anybody gets injured there, Conor's definitely going to take that fight. And if he takes that fight, win or lose, he ain't fighting Gaethje 2 months later.
Actually, and there's no way he'll fight on International Fight Week because it's a Conor show if he fights. It's not. They're not. He's not on these stat cards anymore. He makes too much money.
Yeah.
Because if that was International Fight Week, it would be George Usman, Conor, fucking Gaethje. That'd be the biggest pay-per-view ever.
Yeah. They're not going to fire all their bullets
with
that.
Because, I don't know, that actually kind of would be a good idea, though, because then you have Conor in the main event, you got George and Usman in the co-main, put Conor over a title fight. And then you got fucking George calling Conor out when he wins. Conor doing the same when he wins. You set up a big fight for the welterweight title in November at Madison Square Garden. George Masvidal versus Conor McGregor.
That'd be pretty sick if it all played out like that. Because let's be honest, Gaethje is one of my favorite fighters. I love watching him fight, but I really think his style against Conor's style, he'll get chewed the fuck up.
I'm going to be honest with you. Win, lose, or draw, I don't think Khabib's fighting again this year.
Well, after April, I don't think so either.
I'm just being honest because let's...
Oh, you mean not even at the end of the year?
No, I don't think so. I think if he fights again, it'll be in January of next year. Because if he gets out of beating Tony Ferguson, how beat up is he going to be?
He going to be beat up.
Like, there's no
win,
doubt.
Win, lose, or draw. Yeah. Khabib's going to be
There's no doubt in my mind. Up. Both those guys after this next fight could possibly not fight for the rest of the year.
That'd be interesting.
Maybe they'll fight in December at best. And I don't think if Conor fights in July that he's going to wait for Khabib past November. So I think if Conor does fight in July against Gaethje, he'll turn around and fight George before he fights Khabib.
Yeah.
I think it would make more sense for him. But yeah, so that whole lightweight division's in a weird place because there's a lot of moving parts. Because there's a lot of guys who kind of fight at both weight classes.
And a champion that doesn't fight very often.
Yeah.
He's not known for
And Hooker
for,
is kind of the last man out right now.
Well, he's got to get somebody in the top 10.
Well, Barboza's gone now. He's at 45.
Yeah, that's weird.
You got Cowboys coming off a loss. I don't think he'll take Hooker.
I don't think.
You got Tony who's fighting Khabib. You got Gaethje who's waiting for Conor. Conor's waiting for Gaethje or Khabib or George or whoever the fuck. Then you got Dustin Poirier who would supposedly is fighting Ally Quinta in May. That's what the Twitter beef was started. So maybe Dan Hooker finds some way to... Well, no, because now he's not going to fight for 6 months, 4 months. He's not. He got beat up.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be on suspension.
He's
going
to take some time. So
he's going to have to wait, take some time and see what shakes out. Honestly.
I think it's best for him to take some time, actually, because if Al and Dustin Poirier fight, I think that the winner of that or the loser of that could fight Dan. Well, no, I don't think he'll fight Al again. I just feel like if Poirier loses to Al, he maybe could fight Dan Hooker. I don't think Dan Hooker has the star power to really fight Dustin Poirier yet.
Not yet. He can get there. He's good.
I don't really think Al does either. I don't know how Al's going to get this fight. Maybe Dan Hooker can fight Kevin Lee. But Kevin Lee is fighting in a couple weeks as well.
Yeah, sure is Oliveira.
I don't think Kevin Lee is going to punch down to Dan Hooker either, though. So I don't know. This lightweight division is weird because it's a big mixture of like young guys and old guys, and like some older guys that have a lot of status. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I hit this ball. Like just based on, and that's unfortunate in fighting. Like a lot of guys feel like because of what they've done in their career, they have no reason to fight some of these younger guys. It's like whatever, dude. I've done so much more than you've done in this company that I'll fight whoever the fuck I say I fight. And I hate that mentality. Because I feel like Dustin Poirier kind of has that now. Like, he was talking about, like, he only deserves a Conor fight next.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not going to take anything less. Like, you're going to.
Good luck. I like Dustin, too. Good luck with that.
I like him, too. Don't get me wrong. I like him as a fighter. He's a good fighter. But I think he's fucking... I think he thinks he has a little bit more status than he necessarily does in that division.
But that division's got a lot of fucking flexing, you know, coming off of Conor, man. Everybody, like, reflexively wants to fucking price
and
themselves up higher.
I get that. Seems.
And I get it. There's nothing wrong. I'm not, dude, get as much as you can.
Yeah.
But the matchmakers need to make some fights.
Exactly.
And get some shit
some
going.
Some decisions need to be made.
We got a title fight coming up next week for the vacant 125-pound title formerly held by Henry Cejudo.
Whose fight we'll talk about later.
We've got Joey two times Benavidez.
Look at fighting make it for four his, times.
Gonna make it
Call
his
four
fourth
times.
Title
Call
shot,
four times
man.
After this.
His fourth title shot. And it is a deserved title shot. This is not a gift. He has earned it.
Yeah.
But it is his
Both
fourth time.
Have.
He's fighting
Davison Figueiredo
from Brazil, who is 16-1.
Seven fight win streak in the UFC right now.
Yeah.
He's beat some of the best guys at 125 pounds. Very similar. He's a very similar recent resume to Joseph Benavidez, which I think makes this fight so interesting.
Yeah, Joey's only lost a handful to a handful of fighters. We were just talking about it.
He's lost to two. He's lost two fights to DJ. He lost to Dominic Cruz, and he lost to Sergio Pettis.
I mean, you're losing. And a lot Pettis of people, aside, you're losing to the cream of the crop there.
Well, and a lot of people think he won the Pettis fight, too. It was a razor-thin decision.
It was pretty close. I remember that fight.
So.
He has his hands full here. I got to say, I'd like to see him get it. It's his fourth try. I think it would be good for Figueiredo's him to get gonna it. I think
Figueiredo's going
to
win it. Figueiredo's looking fucking good, man. He's so fast.
He is a beast. I'm going to make the sentimental pick for Joey, though. He looked good.
I'll make the sentimental
pick. He looked good in his last fight. We saw him live at the Usman RDA fight here in Vegas.
That was his last fight?
No, he probably had one in between then. He's been calling for a title shot for a long
time. He's been waiting, though. He spent some time on the sideline.
It made me mad. Cejudo kept him waiting forever before he gave up that belt. But whatever. It's done now. Yeah. He got stripped, and here we are. But.
Well, he's not stripped yet. Not until the fight officially starts.
I'm sure. Alrighty.
So he's still Triple C, man.
I'm just kidding. I have nothing to say.
I'm
so over. I'm so over this guy.
Well, let's just talk about it then. So about 10 minutes before we started here, we got a little update from Brett Okamoto that the fight at 135 pounds has been set for Jose Aldo and Henry Cejudo on May 9th in Brazil.
This is embarrassing. All I can hope and keep my fingers crossed and pray that Jose Aldo beats his ass.
So
I think it's embarrassing. You know, folks, if you're listening and wondering why, it's just the sporting aspect of it. Whether you think that Jose Aldo won or lost his last fight, according to the judges and the official record, he lost. He lost his last fight and was gifted a title shot now because Henry Cejudo wants a quote-unquote big fight. Whatever. It is what it is. And there's viable contenders in at least one undisputably in Aljamain Sterling in the weight class. And some would argue Peter Yan after him, although some say he needs another win.
Fight, supposedly.
I mean, I guess it's all going to shake out if they fight each other. They'll knock one of them, you know, each other out of contention. But yeah. Cejudo, I'm over it. It's just his personality. And shit, he said this past weekend about Colin McGregor a terrorist or something. It was just absurd. Like he's managed by Ali, and you're going to call somebody else a terrorist? Like that's just so crazy to me.
Yeah.
Just other shit that I don't really feel like talking about, but I'm just over Henry. I guess this fight's going to happen, so I'm not going to be mad about it. I've talked enough shit about it, you know. I know you like him. He's one of your boys, and that's cool. He's a great fighter, dude.
Yeah, I like him as a fighter. I don't ever really defend his personal shit. Like
his stick and all that shit. Yeah. Just be your fucking self, dog.
I don't ever really condone that shit, but I like him as a fighter.
He said some pretty questionable shit about Sterling. I'm just let's not do that, dude. Why don't you just... Whatever. I guess he's going to fight Aldo in Brazil, so that's pretty crazy. Aldo's second fight at 135. I mean, it was a squeaker against Marias, Aldo's fight. I mean, I thought he lost it, but I thought he was competitive. You watched it. You thought he won. I mean, I get it. It's really just a matter of
He just looked
of
like his old
opinion.
Self, and I feel like that's dangerous at 135. If he's looking like... He looked like the Aldo of old.
And they're doing this in Brazil, right?
Yeah. That's dangerous.
And he's going to be more accustomed to the weight and the cut, you know.
But is he even... How much is he cutting now? Because he looks small.
Dude, he clearly... He's not cutting, actually. He lost physical size. He lost muscle mass to get down to the weight, clearly.
And he didn't gas like
he looks like fucking
did.
Aldo's little
that,
brother.
Yeah, he did. But did you notice that? In the third round of that fight against Marlon, he wasn't gassed. And in a lot of his fights in the past, he gassed. So I wonder if losing some of that...
But he was also in five-round fights, most of these.
Yeah.
But the point is still somewhat valid because he is known for gassing later in fights, and this will be a five-round title fight.
He didn't gas at all, I thought.
No, he looked fine. Yeah. He could beat Cejudo.
Yeah, for sure.
And Cejudo could beat him because he's Jose Aldo, and while he's only 34, he's got how many years in the fight
game? I don't even think he's 34. I think he's like 32.
He's like 105 in fights.
Yeah. Man. He's been fighting a long time.
You know what I would like to see is, which you're the one that first suggested it, was is if Aldo wins, and what does that possibly set up?
Well, here's my thing. This is what all this came up in my brain is like. You know who's like really the most underappreciated bantamweight of all time is Dominick Cruz. Because we were talking about Benavidez, we were talking about who he's lost to, and I was looking, I was like, wow. So Dominick Cruz has beat Joseph Benavidez. He's beat DJ.
Twice.
He's beat TJ Dillashaw. He's beat
Faber
twice.
Back when Faber years ago.
Man.
Yeah, when Faber was the
shit. Let's remember, if we're going to act like fucking Jose Aldo is still the man, let's think about fucking Dominick Cruz is still the fucking man then too. Then when he comes back, let's make the fight that everybody and their mother wanted in 2011. It was Dominick Cruz versus Jose Aldo. Was it 2011, I want to say?
Somewhere in that time
era. Somewhere in that timeline.
It was a few years ago now.
Yeah. So let's make it.
If Jose wins.
Jose Aldo, Dominick
comes back healthy, which he seems to be remarkably able to do.
Gets a little tune up.
I'm actually down for that fight. Let's see it. I think it would be exciting at this class. As long as Aldo still looks like he's got some gas.
I think it's a big fight.
That would be a big fight. I'm actually rooting for that to happen now that you mentioned it pre-show. That's the dream scenario. Let's do it. Let's go, Jose.
Right. But I think he's going to lose, unfortunately. And then Dominick Cruz will probably fight Henry, which I like that fight too.
And Aljamain Sterling is just going to be left in the cold.
Honestly, maybe not, though, because him and Aljo have been going on Twitter, going back and forth and back and forth. And Petr Yan, he did some funny. You can't even lie. He did Petr Yan funny.
Oh, when he said he spelled better like his name.
Yeah,
Peter.
That
was funny.
He was like, no, not even that. Because then dumbass Yan was like, he just kept putting tweets back at him and just misspelling words somehow all over the place. He was like, man, you need to get out of the gym and get hooked on phonics before you try to talk to me before we fight. It was just funny.
That is funny. In fairness to Yan, it is a new language for him, but
yeah, but it's just funny because that's kind of what
he doesn't have autocorrect.
That's fucking yeah. That's just like that's why it's funny because all these fighters have used like shit like that. That's like a classic joke in the fight community, like for like
it is
the UFC. Like remember when fucking Chael did the same shit to fucking Anderson Silva and fucking popped all over the place. I feel like a lot of these shticks are a lot of like old shit Chael did and just do it again. Like Colby Covington is Chael 2.0.
Oh yeah,
like Chael 2.0, but just decided to be like the Trump supporter guy. Like,
yeah, he decided to create a different
take the Trump
character,
thing out of it. Like, take the Trump thing out of it. Before Trump was president and shit, and he was just like Colby Covington the asshole. Like when he was got hit with the boomerang and shit.
Yeah, and he was fucking like giving movie spoilers on Twitter. And
yeah,
shit.
So it's like he's just like Chael 2.0. So it's like. And I feel like Henry's trying to do the same thing, but it's just...
It just didn't take off for him. He's so
cringy.
Well,
here's the thing.
It's
because he's not following the Chael recipe, where it's like, don't give a shit what people say and just do what you're going to do. Henry, like, reacts and shit, and then, like, he lets fucking homeboy take over his account, too, and put shit out. Fucking Ali. Yeah. And like, it's,
well, you know what? The more successful character guys do, like, and I think Chael did this, and I clearly think Connor does this, is they take their own personality, but then they just amp it up times like 10 or 100.
That's kind of
you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's kind of what Colby's doing.
And Colby too, you know. Yeah. But Cejudo just seems
that's just
to
not him. Like I,
not
that's what that's
be
the thing.
This
though,
guy, he's
is
trying
like,
to be something.
That's the bad part about Henry and fucking Colby is they were in the UFC for multiple fights prior and were very, very, very respectful and even too nice at some points.
I totally liked Cejudo but in the lead up to the DJ fight.
DJ
I mean,
fight,
act like
remember
this
they
at
did
all.
The they
like,
did the crazy
cool,
documentary piece on him about how like he's one of like four kids or something like that, and he's like, got a single mom and
dude,
like he's
I was
from
a
Arizona
fan.
And all
it's
that shit.
Literally his
and they,
act.
It was a great. It was
off.
Great, but then he got fucking knocked out, and it was all over after that. When DJ just beat the shit out of him in 35 seconds, it was like, ah, that sucked. Who wants to see that again? So he created this stupid shtick to fucking get people to want to see him fight because no one wanted to watch him fight when they had the feel-good story, you know? It sucks. Because it's just not who he, everyone knows he's so fake, man. It's just fake. It's hella fake. That's why I like guys like Schaub and Rogan who call it out and go like, yeah, I actually know him personally. He's actually a really good guy. Like, I like that because it like, sometimes like Colby now kind of pulls the curtain back sometimes.
Yeah.
But like Henry's fucking stupid. He with both those guys. Like, God damn it. I hate the shticks they're playing.
Played it wrong. But we'll
see. Even Colby fucking came back out of the fucking darkness recently.
He did.
With a lot of excuses, though. I saw that interview
on Ariel, yeah.
A lot of excuses. He thinks the fight in July is not going to happen.
Yeah. He thinks Masvidal's going to price himself out.
Yeah, and he says that he'll be there ready in July to fight Usman again.
I wouldn't hate that either. That was a close fight as well, right up to the end.
So. There's a couple rematches we might see here pretty soon. Because, like, that fight's on the table. I wouldn't mind seeing Reyes and John run it back. Because I just don't think Jan has enough for John to really...
I'd like to see Jan in between, personally. I'd like to see Reyes, John Jones again as well. Just not immediate. I'd like at least one fight. Maybe not for Reyes. If Reyes don't want to fight again, whatever. But yeah. I think Jones should. That's just my opinion.
I just don't think Jan's got much for him.
No, I don't think it'll win, but...
I think it'll go very similar to the Gustafsson fight because Gustafsson did that to Jan twice.
Yeah,
didn't they fight three times? I think they fought twice or three times, but either way, Jan was not competitive in either fight, so.
No.
And then, like, he got KO'd by Thiago Santos three fights ago, too, so it's like. Like, Jan's not really knocking anyone out these days.
John Jones?
Yeah. No. But. I think he just would beat him for five rounds. I was watching old John Jones recently, man. John's not as nasty as he used to be, man.
Not at all.
Bro, I was watching when he fought.
He was a mean fighter, bro, dude.
When I was watching him fight Shogun. He tortured that man. He tortured him. Like, even when he was on top and shit, like, he was sitting there. Putting his fucking hands all covered his mouth and his nose.
Those big ass goddamn hands.
And like, he wasn't throwing elbows. He was like, just taking his elbow and like, yeah, he was like grinding it in his
fucking
shit. It was fucking savagery, dude. And like, Shogun was just like, oh, like you can see it. And he was just like trying to pop up. And we just don't see Jones do that anymore. He needs to go back to that.
Yeah, he needs to get fucking mean and nasty again.
He was grody, dude. He was so fucking nasty, man.
Remember how Rampage was just like talking all dirty with, oh, fucking fucked up my knee. And his
knee. My knee's never been the same.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
Savagery, man.
He don't do that no more.
Or how about when he fucking standing guillotined fucking Lyle Machida and then just dropped him like on his head?
Sack of fucking potatoes, man. That was so savage. I miss those days. Honestly, I was hoping John would come out.
I kind of wanted Corey to win that fight. I don't like Corey very much. Like, I don't dislike him either. I just feel like he's an idiot. Blah. He's done stupid stuff. Like, that shit he did with the Johnny Walker and, like, saying the UFC should release him. Because I just feel like he feels like he got knocked down to earth. But I kind of wanted him to win that fight just because, man, I just don't think Jan has it for John Jones.
John Jones needs to come out and put on one of those emphatic performances, and Jan might be the guy he could do it against. He needs to come out and put an ass-whooping on somebody and sub, get a finish here, and people be like, ah, damn, all right. And then people say, all right, let's see this Reyes fight.
I could see it going very similar to Gus fight, though. He's going to go out there, probably hurt him on the feet with, like, leg kicks or something.
So another one of these boring...
Take him down and then just pound him into the mat.
Yeah, we'll find out soon.
Yep. All right, so one other title fight that was announced for June 9th. Got Joanne Calderwood fighting the most fucking active champion in the UFC, Valentina Shevchenko.
Man, she just won.
This will be your third fight this year already.
Yeah. Wow. Dude, I love JoJo. She's one of my favorite female fighters. Vegas, she's right here in town, trains with Roxy over at Syndicate.
She's
going to get murked. Not in any shame of her skills. It's just...
Valentina is just too much, man.
Valentina is too much. The only way that JoJo wins this fight is if Valentina somehow makes mental errors and comes out.
But what does...
But she has shown no sign of doing anything close to that.
What does JoJo have that's going to stop Valentina, even if she comes out like she doesn't care?
Has Shevchenko even made many, many mistakes in the fucking octagon?
I mean, she got beat up by...
I'm not saying she's perfect, but...
She got beat up by Nunes a couple rounds.
Yeah, yeah, the GOAT female fighter, who's bigger and badder than her, let's just be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, the day Amanda Nunes could get to 125, it was maybe 15 years ago. Yeah. When she was a teenager. Although,
if she does carry a little bit of, like, weight at
125. She's a little thick.
So what if she just did a Jose Aldo and made 125?
Oh, that'd be crazy, I don't know.
And was a triple champ, the next triple C.
Don't say it.
She'd be...
Actually, it should be the true triple C because he counts as Olympic medal. Right. As somehow as an MMA accolade, which I get. It is an Olympic medal. Well, it is fucking prestigious.
Supposedly, after he beats Jose Aldo, he's going to fight Alexander Volkanovski.
Dude, he don't want that smoke. I'm telling you. Luke Thomas and I see eye to eye on that one. I was watching his show, too, and Volkanovski chew him up and spit him out. There's a time when you might have equal skills based on your size level, but after a while, size comes to play.
Here's the problem, though. Here's the issue. I think Henry could out-wrestle everyone up to 145 pounds. And he could literally just take him down and hold him there for 5 rounds if he really wanted to.
I don't think he could take Volkanovski down and hold him. Not a former rugby player of that level. And that size.
Telling you right now.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Look me in the eyes.
it ain't happening.
There's nobody in any division from 125 to 145 pounds that can stop from getting taken down. Maybe a couple times, but there will never be a single fight in Henry Cejudo's career where he will just literally get shut out in the wrestling department.
Well, the problem with that is he might get takedowns, but that doesn't mean he's going to hold somebody down for 5 rounds and win a fight.
That's the thing, though. Multiple takedowns.
I've never seen him do that.
DJ, he did it to DJ. Did it to DJ.
Against somebody that big.
Oh, that big, yeah. Because he's never fought somebody that big.
That fight with DJ was tied 2-2 going into the fifth round. We saw DJ with a broken foot.
Let's all be honest.
Still barely
won. Let's all be honest here, though. What won that fight? What won the fight?
DJ's broken foot?
No, what won the fight? Be honest here.
DJ's broken foot?
Be honest here. What won the fight?
A blind judge?
I agree. It's a very razor-thin fight, but what won the fight was the 6 takedowns that Henry Cejudo had between rounds 3 and 5.
Yeah, it's easy to take down a dude with a broken foot.
For sure. I'm not denying that. I'm just saying that the takedowns are what won that fight, and I feel
won
like
the fight.
If he fights anybody from 100, anybody bigger than him that's going to hit harder than him, he's just going to take them down. That's just the reality of it.
Well, let's see.
I'm just saying.
I think that's... Nutty Nutterson talk, but
no, I'm
we'll
not
see.
Saying he's gonna beat Volkanovski or anything. I'm just saying that
we'll
if
see.
He, anybody
you know,
who tries to fight
he's,
that's
take
bigger
him
than
down.
Him, he's just gonna wrestle them. He's like that's why he thinks he can beat everybody, because he thinks in his head that anybody he fights that is pretty much on his size level, he's just gonna. That's why he wanted to fight Frankie if he beat Max. That's why he wants to fight Volkanovski because he beat Max. He doesn't want to fight Max because Max is bigger than him. He, in his mind, and I'm not saying it's 100% right or 100% wrong.
I mean, he's an Olympic gold medal champion, in case you hadn't heard. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Cejudo won an Olympic gold medal.
When?
In the sport of wrestling.
Really?
This was just a handful of years ago.
Yeah. Just a handful of years ago. But you know what I'm saying, though?
No, I get what you're saying.
Anybody in his mind, anybody that has similar dimensions and size to him, he feels that he's going to have the ability to take them down, and they will not be able to stop it. Whether he holds him down or beats him up or does any of that shit aside, all he's going to try to do is take them down and hold them there. If he fights someone with better power, it's just
really
what
we'll see. I guess, when did this fight get announced for? March?
May.
I mean, JoJo versus Shevchenko is going to be at UFC 251 in June.
Yeah, it's the first fight announced on that card. So,
man, good luck to Joanne Calderwood.
That'd be crazy, though. That supposedly is where Connor and fucking
The much rumored Gaethje fight?
Gaethje, yeah, that's what card it would be on.
Yeah, if you hadn't.
Because it would be June.
Hmm.
Unless they do what they did last time, just make up a pay-per-view in June. They can always do that. They always do that with Conor. There's like a,
they can afford to just, yeah, just like, make up a double card and fill it with scrubs.
And especially if, no offense to JoJo Calderwood and Valentina, but if there's two pay-per-views in 1 month and one is headlined by Valentina Shevchenko and JoJo Calderwood and one's headlined by Conor McGregor and Justin Gaethje.
Yeah, we know what's going to happen there.
Sorry,
right?
But I might have to buy the women's fight. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I just feel like the UFC is in a strange place right now because now we're talking two different divisions where there are just weird championship fights going on. Like, the one with Cejudo is a weird one. The one in middleweight's a weird one. Lightweight, who the fuck's going to fight for the title next? Like, it's just weird.
Right.
Everything's weird. Even 205. Like, 205, I think, is a gridlock right now. Because now you got Anthony Smith coming back. Dominic Reyes more or less deserves the title shot again. Thiago Santos is able to fight soon. Then you also have Jan Blachowicz, who just beat Corey Anderson. Corey Anderson, who's in the mix. Johnny Walker just won his last fight. So where is every... I think he's scheduled for his next fight against someone he should beat. So the question becomes, what are you going to do? Does everyone loved how many great contenders we had at 205.
Mm-hmm.
But now every single one of them has some sort of claim to the title, and none of them have fought each other.
Yeah. That is
so
happening.
Like all these divisions, I feel like are in great spots, but somewhat gridlocked at the same time, and that's why I feel like a lot of these fights, like we were talking about earlier in the show, people are gonna have to stop with the whole "I'm too big to fight this person" thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Because we need to see a lot of we need to see a lot of really stacked, good ESPN Plus or ESPN. Regular ESPN fight nights with big fights, because there's some big fights that are not necessarily title fights that need to happen soon, especially at 170, 205, and 155.
Yeah, for sure. Getting a lot of build up.
Same thing in 70.
Let's
70's
hope that
the
happens. 70's the same way too. I was just gonna say
it's a whole bunch of guys that haven't fought each other, except Usman's kind of fought them all, except Masvidal.
Fitting.
Yeah, the chump. Same thing with Jones. There's been the dominant champ thing is starting to come back, I feel. Got Jones, Shevchenko,
yep.
Khabib, obviously, fucking Usman.
Khabib's only had two defenses, but it just feels like he's so damn dominant that he's close, not going to be taken out anytime soon.
I hate to say it. No one's going to beat him, dude. I mean, unless someone comes. If he goes up, maybe. But
yeah.
I just don't know anybody I think Tony Ferguson is maybe our best chance.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily...
But you wouldn't see me putting any money on that.
I want it to happen.
I do, too.
But... I've got my doubts.
Me, too, my friend. Me, too.
Shit. Well, I think that wraps up our show for today.
I think so, folks. And I do want to say something real quick. We got about 35,000 or so listeners that tune into us on WBUZ 95. Our show is normally on Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Central Time, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. out here on the West Coast. Station has been down for about the past 2 weeks. It's being restructured and rebuilt. There's going to be a relaunch of WBUZ 95 in about 10 days or so. So somewhere within our next episode or two, we should be back up. Station should be running again with apparently a whole slew of new programming and a possible new boxing show coming from your friends Paul and Jared over here at SWAT MMA. So you can normally catch us there at those times we said, but you can always find the podcast on iTunes. You can find it on Google Play. You can find it on pretty much any podcast outlet out there. Yep. And, of course, like Paul just said, video on YouTube.
Yep.
All the links you can find at
SWATMMA.com, where you can go in there, click the gear button, buy a t-shirt, support the podcast. Yep. Let us know what you think in the comments.
We're going to get smoking on this purple punch. See you, folks. Peace.
Peace.